Please join me in our Bible reading today, taken from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do what likewise."
Thank you, Debbie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that it brings. Your life that you bring through it. And as we come to this story, this well-known story, we just pray for new life, exciting and powerful life that you will speak into our lives through your Holy Spirit, through your word. I just pray that our minds and our hearts will just be open to the things we need to hear from you, God. Just commit this time into your hands, Lord Jesus. Amen. The other day I was hanging out outside the Hope Street Cafe when one of the locals, Elle, walked past me just rattling some loose change in her hand. And I asked Elle, "How's it going?" And she said, "I'm better now, Sam. Johnny just gave me some shrapnel, some loose change." And I know Johnny, he's one of the long-term rough sleepers. He gets on the ice and a whole bunch of other substances. And I said something to Elle like, "Oh, that's great, Johnny, he's a good man, isn't he?" And then Elle followed up and she said, "Ain't it funny that the poorest people are the ones who help the poorest?" And she went on her way, and I kind of just sat there just thinking about that striking observation that she made. And I'm not exactly sure why Elle made that comment. Was it because people who share the same struggles, the same experiences, are more willing to help out? Or was she just so used to seeing others not helping her? People more well off, passing her by, not helping, not giving her the time of day. It was a profound observation. The poorest who help out the poorest. And it got me thinking, how do I react when I see someone asking for money, cold biting, or asking for help? Do I have the time to stop? Do I think that they're going to spend the money on drugs or alcohol? Do I think that if I do try to talk to them, they're going to have a go at me, abuse me? Which then gets my mind going on a bigger set of questions. I think to myself, When was the last time I stepped out of my circle, my world, and my usual relationships to act as a neighbor to someone who is outside of my world, to meet someone unlike me and be their neighbor? Or to use the theme of May Mission Month, when do I cross the street to meet people where they are at? When did you last cross the street? When did you last cross the street and meet a person where they are at, no matter who they are or what they are struggling with? And it is an important question for each one of us individually, but also for us collectively as the church, as Caringbah Baptist Church. How does it look like? How does it look to cross the street here in Caringbah, living alongside people, being their neighbours with the hope of Jesus, to go to them, to cross the street, no matter who they are and where they are at? And I want you to keep those questions in mind as we together look at the story of the Good Samaritan. It is such a well-known story, and my prayer is for God to breathe new life into this story through His Holy Spirit, which in turn, God will breathe new life into us. The life of Jesus, which will challenge us and will encourage us to cross from my side of the street to the other side of the street, to meet people where they are at. Being a neighbour it's an interesting concept. You can take that narrow view. My neighbour is the person who lives next door to me or across the street. You can take the wider view. My neighbour is my fellow human being, locally or globally. And it is this question, who is my neighbour, which sets Jesus up for telling the story of the Good Samaritan. As background, there's a little bit of theological to and fro between Jesus and this expert in the law. And it starts with the expert asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus basically says, well, you tell me, you're the expert. What does the law say? And the expert in the law answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All fine and good. He's answered correctly. But then the expert asks a follow-up question in verse 29, and who is my neighbor? The expert doesn't ask, how do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind? How is that even possible? The expert also doesn't ask, how do I love my neighbor as myself? But instead he asks, who is my neighbor? Maybe to the expert, loving God is a given. It's a clear command. I am to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength. But loving my neighbor, well, I'm not too sure about that one. It's not as clear. Does my neighbor mean my fellow Jewish person? Does my neighbor mean a family member? Or does it actually mean the guy living next door? In his question, the expert is putting up these boundaries around who his neighbor is. If I have a neighbor, then I must also have a non-neighbor, someone who sits outside of that. So am I only obligated to love those people who fall within my boundaries of a neighbor? And therefore, I don't need to love my non-neighbors, those who fall outside of that boundary. And in a way, the expert's question assumes one could love God fully, yet sets limits on the meaning of neighbor. It's obvious the expert hasn't spent much time with Jesus. You know, Jesus is just hanging out with the most vulnerable people in the community, the most despised people in society, the sick, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the troublemakers, meeting people where they are at. And we read about Jesus time and time again crossing the streets of culture, religion, ethnicity, and gender to reach people. And now with the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is going to give the expert in the law and us a lesson on who our neighbor is. Who is my neighbor? Who do I cross the street for? Though it's not lost on me that this idea of crossing the street, with this idea of crossing the street, we actually in this story look to the fella who doesn't cross the street. He stays on that side of the street. He doesn't turn away from the people in need. Well, we have the priest and the Levite who do actually cross the street when they shouldn't have. Instead, they needed to cross the street of their culture and their religion to reach out and help the man in need. In the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus answers the expert's question, who is my neighbor? By setting up this striking contrast, setting up points of difference that the expert knows all too well. You have the priest and the Levite versus the Samaritan. The Jewish priest and Levite versus the non-Jewish Samaritan. The religious priest and Levite versus the non-religious Samaritan. The highly regarded priest and Levite versus the Samaritan. My neighbors, the priest and Levite versus the non-neighbor Samaritan. Jesus is so good at setting up this story with the priest and the Levite because there is a fair bit going on culturally here. They're not even sure that this man is dead or not, or is he Jewish or not, but they have to wrestle with all the relevant legal religious requirements. First, for Jewish people, there is this risk of corpse impurity. They cannot touch a dead person. And if they do, they become unceremonially unclean for 7 days. Some also consider the shadow of a corpse or the air above it unclean. No wonder the priest and the Levite crossed to the other side. Better to be religiously safe than sorry. Second, a Jewish person is obligated to bury a fellow Jewish person, even if it is a stranger. But there's no obligation to a non-Jewish person. Third, the law may be overridden in emergency situations. And then for the priest, he's held to a higher standard because of his sacred office. For the priest and the Levite, all of these religious legal requirements are swirling around. There's these competing priorities for them in this complex situation. Again, from the distance, is the victim dead or alive, Jewish person, non-Jewish person? They must be twisting themselves up in knots, trying to work out what to do within the law. All the while, this poor beaten man is in urgent need of help. It's simpler for them to cross the street and not break the law than to help a fellow human being. Another concern in the story is that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notoriously unsafe and dangerous. Thieves, robbers, perfect for an ambush. Maybe the priest and the Levite were concerned for their personal safety. Maybe the robbers who had attacked this man are just waiting behind the rocks or whatever to attack any rescuers that might come along. And finally, I can relate to this one. Maybe they were just trying to get home after a hard day's work. Or maybe they're just rushing off to an appointment they had. Thinking, oh, he'll be all right. The beaten man, he'll be okay. Someone will come behind me and they will help him out. As I was thinking of all these reasons that the priest and the Levite might not have helped the beaten man, I started to relate to why they did cross the road and did not help out. I went from thinking, come on, just help him out, to, yeah, right, I actually see why they didn't help. And hang on, I'm then thinking about when I've used similar excuses. Maybe not the religious or cultural ones. I do not think I'm going to limit myself to only helping Christians. But maybe I do sometimes overthink the moral and theological stuff. And of course, my personal safety is a priority. And yes, I am time poor. And I have those times where I'm just spent. I've got nothing left to give. And those can be good reasons, can't they? Not to put ourselves in harm's way, to care for ourselves, you know, that kind of self-care. But we also have to be careful when those things cross over to become excuses. And to be brutally honest with myself, I have used those exact excuses. Then comes along the Samaritan. And the Samaritan is this point of difference, to show another way. And in doing so, Jesus challenges the expert in the law, and he challenges us. You know, most of us know those three people walk into a bar type jokes. The third guy is always the punchline. He's the guy that grabs your attention. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan, they're walking down the road. The Samaritan is the third guy. He grabs our attention and he shows us the heart of Jesus' message. To the expert in the law, the Samaritan is considered lower than the priest and the Levite. He's not Jewish, he's not religious. There's this historical and fierce hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. So the expert isn't thinking very much about the Samaritan who's come along. As opposed to the priest and the Levite, the Samaritan doesn't have all that religious complexity to wrestle with. But he does have to worry about his own personal safety. He might be in a hurry. He might be in a rush to get somewhere. But that doesn't stop him from helping the man. So what is the difference? What is the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan? We are told that the priest and the Levite saw the man and they both crossed over to the other side of the road. They decided not to help him. Whereas we are told that the Samaritan also saw the man, and in verse 33, it says he took pity on him. Other translations use the word compassion, which I would prefer over pity. Pity kind of conveys this sense of distance. But compassion is that deep, almost physical, it is a physical, emotional connection to someone who is hurting. And it is this word, compassion, which separates the Samaritan from the priest and the Levite. All three men saw the beaten man. All three acted. The action that the priest and the Levite took was to turn away from the man. Whereas the Samaritan, moved by compassion, he did not turn away. He acted, he stopped, and he helped. And gosh, does he help. He goes above and beyond. He's incredibly generous. He doesn't consider his own safety. And helping this man is going to cost the Samaritan his time, his effort, and his money. The Samaritan takes time to care for this man. He cares for his immediate needs, bandages his wounds, pours on oil and wine, lifts him up, places him on his donkey, and brings him to an inn to take further care. We are told that he pays for the stay in the inn. And then he goes further. The Samaritan pays the innkeeper to look after him in verse 35. The Samaritan makes sure that this man gets the care he requires. Just kind of reflecting on this story, and I find it interesting that there isn't anything too spiritual about this story. Here is a man who needs help, and it is the Samaritan who helps him. Doesn't seem to be any kind of religious, spiritual lesson here. There's no commentary from Jesus or from Luke here that the beaten man or the Samaritan or the expert in the law need to hear the gospel to leave their life of sin, to receive the forgiveness of God. That doesn't seem to happen. It doesn't happen. No, there is someone in need, and to the expert in the law, the most unlikely person to help, the Samaritan, does just that. He helps because he was moved by compassion. And we are called to do the same. And this is how Jesus finishes his interaction, this conversation with the expert in the law. It is quite clear which of the three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, acted as a neighbor. But Jesus still asks the question to the expert. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor in verse 36? It is obvious, and the expert answers correctly, the one who had mercy on him. You notice he can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan, to spell it out. It's as though he cannot acknowledge that a hated Samaritan could be a neighbor. And then Jesus, short and sharp, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Do not just think about it. Do not just talk about it, but go. Go and do it. Act. Act with mercy and act with compassion. Be intentional. Cross the street to those who are unlike you. Serve them. Get your hands dirty. And in doing so, be challenged by the story of the Good Samaritan. Be careful not to make excuses. Be filled with compassion. Be ready to take action. And remember to be a neighbor in this beautiful kind of outworking of your love for God as you love your neighbor. How will that look like for you? How will that look like for Caringbah Baptist Church? What does it look like to cross the street? You are the best people to answer that. I was blown away coming here and seeing the sports center and the cafe and the bookshop and just the presence that the church has in the community. Praise God. At Woolloomooloo, there's just so much need and it's obvious. You don't have to look too far. It's just there on the street. But when I visit other churches around the place, the need is not so obvious in those locations, those suburbs. Maybe that's the same here at Caringbah. I'm not sure if there are blocks of public housing or refugees or those suffering through domestic violence. Have you met your actual next door neighbor? Met the family who lives across the street? Well, think about it. Pray about it. Do it together. Start small also. Being a neighbor does not require meeting every need you see. You'll just burn out too quickly. It just becomes overwhelming and disheartening. But become one piece of a larger puzzle, right? That helps meaningfully in the church. Do it as a church. And ask God to help. Ask for courage and boldness. Look to Jesus. Study Jesus, how he operates and his teaching. And to see with his eyes of compassion. And in faith, take that step. Might be a first step, it might be a small step to cross that street and to meet people where they are at, always with the hope of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge that you present to us and the encouragement you speak to us through the story of the Good Samaritan and Jesus through this story, but also the incredible model of compassion and love and action through Jesus. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit empowers us and speaks to us and drives us to cross the street, Lord, to look out for those who are our neighbour. Give them the time of day. Make that step. And Father, I pray for Caringbah Baptist Church that they do so much and we're so thankful for them, Lord. And I just pray that in the ways that they reach out to their neighbours, that your hope, Jesus, will be the thing that drives them and is also reflected into the community. Thank you again, Jesus.